Good morning. Good to see you all. So today at the 11 o'clock service, one of the recommended texts is a text that most of you have probably heard before about letting justice roll like mighty waters. And I got to thinking about that and realized that there's more discussion beyond just doing that, although I think that is important, because it's real easy when you're trying to constantly pursue justice to get a little burnt out. And so I decided to talk today about the fatigue that can come with trying to bring about justice, and most specifically from a very modern context. So my message today is entitled Guarding Against Resistance Fatigue. And, you know, for progressives, this past Tuesday was a pretty hopeful day. Virginia voted in Danica Rome, who's their first openly transgender lawmaker. Even more hopeful, she won against the man who introduced Virginia's anti-transgender bathroom bill. Andrea Jenkins is now the first openly transgender woman of color elected as mayor of a major U.S. city. Justin Fairfax was voted in as Virginia's next lieutenant governor, making him only the second African-American to ever win a statewide vote in Virginia. In another lieutenant governor race, Sheila Oliver became the first female African-American to hold that position. Our neighbors in Charlotte elected Vi Lyles as mayor, making her the first African-American mayor in that city. Manchester, New Hampshire, which is the largest city in New Hampshire, voted in its very first woman mayor. Tyler Titus became the very first openly transgender person ever elected to a position anywhere in Pennsylvania. Hoboken, New Jersey made Ravinder Bahala, a practicing Sikh American, their mayor. Elizabeth Guzman and Hala Ayala both defeated Republican incumbents to become the first ever Latinas elected to the Virginia House of Delegates. And even in our own town, we saw the city council take a very clear move to a more progressive makeup. As I said, this past Tuesday was a pretty hopeful day for progressives. But the reality is that the past year before that had been a very difficult year for most progressives, particularly those of us who are out there trying to make some kind of difference, trying to prevent draconian moves from the government, basically trying to resist. And I must admit, as many of you here already know, it's not easy. There are just so many issues that seem to have headed south. There are so many people who are being hurt by changes in laws. Just as you think that you're starting to understand and respond to those issues, another one pops up. At times it's just simply exhausting. And it is impacting a whole lot of people. We even had to create a new phrase to describe it, resistance fatigue. Well, it certainly impacted me. Last week, I confessed to my readers that I'm currently a writer that can't write. I'm not talking about, you know, the typical writer's block that all writers go through. What I'm saying is that the world continues to make less and less sense to me, making it really uncomfortable sometimes to try to write about. Now, if I wrote fiction, I don't think it would be as much of a problem, but I don't. I write, or at least try to write, about the real world. I write about politics and religion. But I have to say, the real world doesn't seem so real to me recently. Up is down and down is up. Real news is fake news. Facts have somehow become subjective. People who claim to be Christian followers of the teachings of a loving, compassionate Middle Eastern rabbi are hateful, aggressive, racist, anti-Semitic. The institutions formed around the teachings of a man who had no place to lay his head and invited all to the table, are housed in unthinkably elaborate buildings and controlled by a hierarchy created by old white men with barrier upon barrier to tightly control who is in and who is out. A world where progressive Christian writers make fun of the way people look and even sink to calling them names is not the world that so many of us had been working for. A world where we celebrate politicians who rob from the poor and give to the rich, yet we denigrate NFL players respectfully taking a knee to call attention to racial inequality, is a world doomed to self-cannibalism. A world where women are so sexualized and objectified that many men act as if they have a right to impinge upon them physically is bad enough. But live in a world where most men get away with it. A world where love that doesn't fit some people's Puritan ideals is made illegal and used to push to the margins of society is other people is a dark reflection of some people's inability to extend compassion past those who are just like them. We are building a world devoid of mercy, empathy, hospitality, and love. We're building a world devoid of the very thing that makes us human. Our humanity. I guess what I'm saying is, we have a much bigger problem than most people's actions seem to speak to. I've read explanation after explanation of what the problem is and how to fix it, and frankly, they all fall flat. It's almost as if talking about it lets us feel like we're doing something and somehow appeases the parts of us that are absolutely appalled at what's going on. And so far too few of us do anything about it other than talk. Now, don't get me wrong. Talking about it is very important. Very little ever changes without a frank discussion and exchanging of opinions and ideas. The problem comes when we allow the talk to be the end-all be-all. We are too busy to protest. We're too down to write letters. We're too overwhelmed to do much more than keep up with our daily lives. And that is exactly what they are counting on. Whether they are the folks making laws that rule over our lives or the folks that shout us down and threaten us when we stand up for ourselves and others or the folks who hold all the power in our religious institutes, they are counting on us to be so gobsmacked by how messy, confusing, and immense the problems are that we will ultimately just express our anger, disappointment, and in the end, do nothing more than talk about it. They are counting on us. So let's disappoint them. It seems to me that this past Tuesday should be seen. It should be seen as a sign that things can get better if enough people will work on it. And it also seems to me then that one of the most important things that we can do is carefully guard ourselves against resistance fatigue. Now, here's my list of 9 things that we can do to guard ourselves against resistance fatigue. It's certainly not a complete list, and I am certain that many of you would have other, even better ideas to add to it, but it's not entirely a bad place to start. So here we go. Number one, don't try to take on all of the issues at once. Take on one or maybe two. If there's anything that will absolutely wear a person out, it's trying to handle too many things all at once, burning the candle from both ends. A key to not feeling resistance fatigue is to sort of specialize in an area that you feel really strongly about. Number two, become informed about those issues and then begin strategizing with others about how you might be able to make an impact, and then go do it. I've always said that reality and truth have a progressive bias. Information and facts can be vital parts of making positive change in the world, which is part of why just picking an issue to you is a very smart strategy. The more focused you are, the better equipped you will be to have a full grasp of the issue at hand. And keep in mind, bashing folks with facts very rarely changes minds. Real relationships are what change people's minds on dearly held perspectives. The information is primarily to make sure that you are as aware of the issue that you can be so that you can have a little bit more thoughtful and well-informed discussion with people who may not see the world exactly like you do. Number three, play to your strengths. If you are an organizer, organize. If you're a writer, write. Learning new skill sets is a beautiful thing, but what will be the most helpful in this effort is each person doing the thing or things that they are best at. Number four, this one took me a long time to learn. Don't just engage with everyone who wants to engage with you. Be selective. Only put your energy into the places that have the most potential for success. There are actually people, true, online that are paid to engage with progressives and try to wear us down. The reality is, it works. When you have frustrating after frustrating conversation, you get tired of trying. So don't. It takes a little time, but begin developing a sense of when a conversation is going to go nowhere, and when you see it, don't hesitate to step away from it. Number five, celebrate success. There's nothing much more energizing, more rejuvenating than a celebration. The trick here is to celebrate the progress. But don't use it to make the folks who didn't get the outcome they were hoping for feel bad. Gloating is not only an unfavorable personality trait, it ultimately separates us from each other and further instills the us versus them way of seeing the world. Six, take regular breaks from social media and news. We live in an age of not only instant information, but constant information. Our brains just are not wired in a way that makes the constant input of that kind of information healthy. It will eventually overwhelm us. Just like studies have shown that students learn more when studying by taking frequent breaks, we are more capable of not burning out when we take mental health breaks from all of it. Do a little bit of personal care. Number seven, be upset with the issues and policies, not the people. Directing that negative emotion towards people rather than the issues and the policies that cause them, well, that will eat you alive from the inside out. Number eight, when needed, also take some downtime, not just time away from news sources. Do nothing about the issue. Do things that feed you. The answer to solving any of this does not rest on any one person's shoulders. We'll be okay without you for a little while. Number nine, persist. I'm going to try to take my own advice. The reality is that I am overwhelmed and tired. this is sort of my commitment to get back on the horse and play to my strengths, to do my part and resist. I hope you will too. And I encourage you to invite others to do the same. This is your opportunity to share your thoughts about today's topic, or you just share stories that are brought to mind that you think could be helpful to others. Are there those who would like to share? Go right ahead.
I didn't want to be first. I'm Rebecca. So I've always heard that what we resist persists. So I'm sort of trying to balance that with, you know, the need to stand up and create change. But how to sort of get out of that cycle.
Yeah,
of,
I'm not sure yeah. that I completely agree that what
okay.
we resist persists.
Right.
It certainly can.
It can.
And that's more of a truth of psychological statement that what we resist persists, but not necessarily feet on the ground when something is being done that's hurting other people. I think resistance is our key tool. How you go about resisting is important, because if you resist using the same negativity and violent language,
okay.
then it is going to just
Keep
feed
resist.
Itself. But I think you can resist in a way that's an opposite reflection that tries to create change.
Okay, cool. And I just really enjoyed what you said about the nine different opportunities.
Thanks.
And again, I think I mentioned this last week, but it's really going along with what Frank is saying in the Radical Jesus class. But we're going to be talking about discerning what might be our call, and so that really goes along with getting focused about what might be your particular social justice issue that you want to work on.
Oh, that's neat. That's a great connection, Vance.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't. No, you go ahead. We got time.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Age before beauty. Couple of things. What you said in response to Rebecca about resist reminded me, I was with a guy one day, and we were pulling into a parking lot in a strip mall, and a couple of guys were standing a couple of spaces down from us. And one of them threw his lit cigarette on the pavement. The guy that I was with just got out of the vehicle, walked over and said, "Excuse me, I'll pick that up and throw it away for you." And the man looked at him and said, "I didn't even realize I'd done that. Sorry."
That's a perfect example.
You know, I thought it was really pretty sweet. And otherwise, I agree with Rebecca. Nice talk, and I really enjoyed your list. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Are there others? Have things they'd like to share, perspectives.
I just wanted to add what I need personally often is to be with someone else who helps me and supports me rather than feeling I have to do it alone or figure it out alone, because then I get burned out really fast.
Yeah.
And the other thing isn't quite on your list, but how we... That being a purist and being angry with other people who are actually working toward the same thing that we might be working for is very destructive. And I see a lot of that, you know, that you're not doing enough, you're not doing it right, you're not perfect, and that we tear each other down and to constantly think about how we can move one another in positive ways.
Excellent
point. And there was a thing that someone put on that I saw on Facebook that really struck a chord with me, and I'm trying to work with it, is that we don't have a hate problem, we have a contempt problem.
Mm.
And to really look at when you feel contempt and how to work with yourself to get to compassion somehow, because the contempt is so destructive for yourself and anything you might try to do.
No. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Great points.
Okay.
I'm Annie. It just struck me when you were talking that this might be the time that we have a Wednesday night letter writing campaign again.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to hit that.
I bet you would.
Good morning. I'm Jim. Barbara and I belong to a dinner group with Muslims, and we were in a Muslim home last night, and it wasn't about religion, looking at our differences. What we did is we shared the joy of friendship.
Personal relationships will change people more than anything else ever will. Can't bash them with facts. Getting to know folks pulls down your walls.
The way I look at resistance is that I see things out there that are reflections of my shadow side. And when I see people who are biased, it's like it's bringing up biases I have within myself toward the powers that be, or the, you know, the anyone who's a politician, I'm biased against them. So.
Yeah.
And these wars that are out there that are trying to be created, it's, you know, I have internal wars with other people, with my family, about certain ways they look at things. So it just, and when I look at that and heal that within myself, I look at the world very differently, and it's not about, and it's coming from a place of, it's a different place that I act from. It's not resistance, and it doesn't cause fatigue. So I think the fatigue comes from being attached to the outcome. And if we let go of the outcome and we do everything we can to change everything, then I don't think there needs to be that much fatigue, possibly none at all. And we could act from a more powerful place.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Others?
Thank you. I am in such agreement with that. A lot of times people ask me, how did such and such end up? And I'm like, I have no idea. I just did what I was supposed to do, and I have no idea how it ended up.
I love your list, and I just wanted to add another thing.
Absolutely.
And I was inspired by Jim North to create beauty. Boom. I mean, I walked in here and I saw this arrangement and the awe and the wonder and the joy that exploded from this beautiful creation. Thank you, Jim. Such a gift. And the music that accompanied it just reverberated it that much more. So thank you.
And here our last comment will be from Vance.
Very quick. I agree with the beauty on the altar. I would like it if we could turn the church lights off at the end of the service and just see the sunflowers and the candles and the light from the window.
We can probably make that happen. We will help from Mark there at the end of the service.
Very good. Thank you.